I want to thank all the labor unions here in Dane County that help keep SlysOffice.com up and going so you keep up to date, whether it be the Madison Firefighters, Local 311, or the Madison Teamsters, Local 695, or our friends at Madison Teachers Incorporated. These are some of the most active local unions who organize, and constantly stand up for workers. Thank you from SlysOffice.com.
When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
Welcome to another podcast at SlysOffice.com, brought to you by our friends at the Operating Engineers, Local 139, Madison Teachers Incorporated, Madison Firefighters, and Madison Teamsters, Local 695. Joining us now, President of the Wisconsin Professional Police Officers Association, Jim Palmer.
Thank you for having me, Sly.
All right, take us back to the beginning. What happened with worker compensation for first responders, paramedics, firefighters, and police officers in this coronavirus relief bill in the state legislature in Wisconsin?
Absolutely. Well, first I'll take half a step back and just explain briefly how, you know, workers' compensation claims generally work. You know, and most people, most of your listeners may already appreciate this for the most part, but, you know, anytime an employee is injured in the course of their employment, we have a workers' compensation law in Wisconsin and in every other state that provides benefits for those work-related injuries. Those benefits also extend generally to communicable diseases, although, as you can probably imagine, those are very difficult to prove in any event, regardless of the communicable disease. And those claims are generally very, it's very hard for someone to prove that they acquired a communicable disease by virtue of their employment. You know, given some of the unique dynamics surrounding, you know, the coronavirus and COVID-19, there was an effort, first by Governor Evers. On April 1st, he proposed a number of legislative measures to the legislature, one of which would have created a presumption that, you know, because the coronavirus has a two-week dormancy period, that is to say that, you know, someone can contract the disease, the virus, and, you know, they can share it with others before they even begin to show symptoms themselves, for up to 2 weeks, actually. Because there's a lack of personal protective equipment in the state and in the country, and also because there's just a complete inadequate amount of testing capacity that's available, not only for first responders, but for the general public as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so Governor Evers had proposed creating a presumption that, you know, for any first responders, and his proposal was actually broader than that. It would have extended rather to other essential employees. That for any of those, you know, employee groups that are at greater risk of contracting this disease and who don't have the option of working virtually or you know, of being, you know, being safer in the course of their employment.
Right. Like a grocery store worker, how would they ever prove who gave them the coronavirus? They're in contact with so many people, they don't even know their names.
That's exactly right.
But that's the same with police. Look at the police in Madison or Milwaukee or Wausau or Janesville. They deal with homeless people all the time. They don't even know their names.
Well, right. And you know, a lot of those jobs, just like a grocery worker, but, you know, obviously to a greater extent, you know, law enforcement in particular, you know, they don't have the option of minimizing their contact, their engagement
right.
with the public. Their jobs demand that. And so the law would have, the proposal rather under Governor Evers on April 1st would have presumed that anyone who contracts any of these at-risk employee groups that contract COVID-19, the law would treat them as if they acquired it from their employment. And it wouldn't put on them the burden of having to prove it because, for all the reasons I just stated, that's a nearly impossible standard to meet. I guess that was April 1st. Fast forward a few weeks later to last week, the state legislature came out with its coronavirus package, and it did include a workers' compensation presumption. That was much more limited in scope than what the governor had proposed 2 weeks prior. It wouldn't have extended nearly as long. I think the governor's proposal would have provided for benefits for any claims made between March 12th, when the governor declared a public emergency, to, I think, June 30th of 2021. By contrast, the legislative plan proposed by the State Assembly and Senate would have limited benefits to, I think, 30 days, to claims, rather, to 30 days after the public emergency period ends, which gets you to about June. And it also only would have applied to first responders. It didn't apply to any other at-risk categories. And we publicly said, even in our registration with the State Ethics Board, that we supported the broader measure. But in any event, it would have created a presumption. Someone under the legislative proposal would have had to prove that they had they contracted COVID-19. That is to say, they would have had to have a positive COVID-19 test or a medical diagnosis by a physician. And so that still would be hard, again, for all the reasons I said, just because the testing capacity is and everything else is so drastically limited. But it would have created that presumption. And, that represented an improvement, not albeit a minor one. It wasn't, as broad in scope as what Governor Evers had proposed 2 weeks prior, but it was an improvement all the same. It wouldn't put that onus on the law enforcement officer or the firefighter or the other, other first responder employees. On Tuesday of last week, the State Assembly convened. About 10 minutes before they were set to vote on their coronavirus relief package, a new amendment that nobody had seen came up out of nowhere. And it would have essentially, this actually was passed as part of the bill. It further required that a first responder, in order to qualify for workers' comp benefits, not only has to show that they've contracted COVID-19, but they also have to show that they came into contact, they were exposed to someone with a confirmed case of COVID-19 in the course of their employment. So when you read all these different provisions together, basically what it said is, and this is now the law since Governor Evers signed it into law later last week, that the law now creates a presumption that a first responder that contracts COVID-19, the law will presume that they did so in the course of their employment as long as they can prove that they contracted it in the course of their employment. Now, if that sounds like doublespeak to anyone, you're correct. It's ridiculous. Any presumption that you have to prove is not a presumption at all. And we think that's extraordinarily disingenuous and dishonest and really represents just a tremendous disservice to the men and women working to keep our community safe during this extraordinarily uncertain time.
So did you urge the governor to veto the entire legislation?
We did not. Obviously, as a lot of people may know, the coronavirus relief package, that it was more about than just workers' compensation. And if the legislature had not passed a legislative package and that package had not been signed into law by the end of last week, Wisconsin would have forfeited the right to hundreds of millions of dollars of aid from the federal government. And so, no, we didn't request that the governor veto it. He would not have had the ability to
use the line item.
The Republicans in the legislature were very careful not to include any appropriations in the bill. And by doing so, they basically eliminated any opportunity for the governor to exercise his line item veto authority. So, the choice was a bad package or no package at all. And obviously, we recognize that there are so many businesses and people throughout the state of Wisconsin that would benefit from some assistance. We weren't prepared to oppose the bill and demand that it be vetoed in its entirety, and that wouldn't have, frankly, been realistic.
So when this amendment was tossed in at the last minute, did they vote on it separately on this amendment?
They did. They voted on it separately. It was a party line vote. Obviously the amendment passed, became part of the overriding bill. And I think, Democrats, for the reasons I just mentioned, with regard to, the good things that the bill did attempt to do, they voted in favor of it. And so it was an overwhelmingly bipartisan bill, for the bill as a whole. But it was a party line vote on this particular provision. And I think, the Republican leaders in the Assembly and Senate recognized that they had, the Democratic lawmakers east of the Rock and west of the Hard Place, and they really didn't have a choice.
Jim Palmer from the Wisconsin Professional Police Officers Association.
Similar to a well-tuned automobile, a guitar requires the same level of attention to perform at its very best. No matter how expensive your guitar may be, we will treat you and your instrument with the utmost respect. Call 920-723-1733 or visit jeffsguitar.com. Jeff's Guitar Clinic in Fort Atkinson, we love guitars.
The attorneys at Gingras, Thompson, and Walks have had the honor of receiving numerous awards for their work both in and outside the courtroom. But just as important as receiving accolades for being skilled attorneys, it's equally important to give back to the community in which they live and work. And we're back at SlysOffice.com, brought to you by our friends at Gingras, Thompson, and Walks, and also Madison Computer Works, also Jeff's Guitar Clinic. Joining us again, Jim Palmer from the Wisconsin Professional Police Officers Association. What are you hearing from your members, Jim, on this provision that makes it virtually impossible for them to get workers' compensation if they get COVID-19 while on the job?
Well, I think they're rightfully outraged. They feel as though they've been going to work and doing their duty at great risk, even greater risk than normal. The legislature passed a law that is completely disingenuous, dishonest, and anyone that tries to assert that this is somehow a benefit to law enforcement is wrong. They don't know the law, and they don't know practically how this will impact officers. We have a deputy right now in Wisconsin that's on a ventilator, and in the tragic event that he doesn't survive, workers' compensation law also provides for death benefit. I don't know how that deputy will ever be able to prove that he contracted the disease that led to his death in the scope of his employment. The law certainly won't presume it, though.
So what happens right now with workers' compensation? Let's just say a police officer in Madison contracts COVID-19 and they're ill. Do they get paid by the city of Madison while they're ill, sick time?
They do get, if they have sick time available. Like many jobs, they earn sick time. It is an accrued benefit. And they can use that time to the extent that they have any left. And when that runs out, they have they and the employing agency, in this case, in the hypothetical, the city of Madison, have a decision to make. That is whether or not the officer can, if there's any way he can remain employed with the department. But if he can't do the job and he's sick, obviously is not going to end well for that particular officer, which. And that is exactly why, we have a workers' compensation law in this state and in states throughout the country. It's recognized that when people get hurt in the course of their employment, we cover them. And that avoids litigation between employees and employers. And it really is a system of laws that's meant to protect the taxpayer and protect employers and at the same time safeguard employees are injured in one way or another just by doing their jobs.
So explain to me why anyone would want to deny first responders, or anyone for that matter, workers' comp when we have a pandemic going on. What was the rationale for this?
Well, it's anyone's best guess. I believe that you had groups such as Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, with whom we have worked on other issues. But I believe that they were irrationally perhaps afraid that somehow this was going to open up the workers' comp laws in other areas to other employee groups in the private sector. And I think that's unfortunate. Because they're afraid of too many people getting benefits, they're going to make sure that nobody gets.
How does workers' comp work? How is it funded?
It's funded through payments that employers make. They set aside, and much like insurance, and it's governed by the state of Wisconsin. And you know, the idea again is that employers set this money aside, and in order to pay these benefits in the event one of their employees becomes injured in the course of their employment. And because we have such a law, an employee is prohibited from suing them in court, because obviously that's expensive for everybody involved. And the workers' comp system in Wisconsin and throughout the country, it aims to avoid that and come to a more beneficial system of laws and practices that benefit not only employers but employees alike, and obviously in the case of public employees, the taxpayers that support them.
Kind of works like the medical malpractice fund for doctors.
It does. It does. Very similar.
All right. So now the pushback. There you have Republican legislators that are on your side, most notably the very conservative Andre Jacques, state senator from Northeast Wisconsin, who is truly perplexed by this and has championed for it for first responders in the past. Do you think that you can get the legislature back in place to fix this?
Well, we're not incredibly optimistic, but that doesn't mean that we're not going to try. And we're going to continue to attempt to work with lawmakers and with Governor Evers to see if there's anything that he can do to protect our first responders and other essential employees. I mean, this really is about more than just first responders. We recognize that Wisconsinites from all walks of life are struggling right now as we all endure this pandemic. This isn't about us trying to get one over for first responders. It's this is about trying to protect those employees that don't have the ability, like our lawmakers, for example, to work virtually. Officers can't, call in using Skype or Zoom or anything else in order to do their job.
Yeah, I've noticed that teenagers have not stopped breaking into garages and stealing people's cars and taking the cars out on joyrides in the Madison area. So we do need police officers.
Apparently we do. And it's unfortunate that the legislative leaders in the assembly, in particular, they were deaf to that, and they are deaf to that, and they don't appear to recognize the service and sacrifice of the men and women that are struggling now more than ever to keep their communities safe, and they're doing it with a lack of testing. For example, we have a couple officers I was just made aware of about last week, that are homesick. Their symptoms aren't such that they need to be hospitalized, and they apparently are incapable of being tested because there just aren't the tests available. And, that's extraordinarily difficult. Obviously, we have a lack of personal protective equipment. That's not a newsflash to anyone. But for lawmakers to drop the ball in the way they did here, and that's a polite characterization, it's pretty shameful.
What are you hearing from your officers as far as what they're enduring on a daily basis?
Well, it varies. I mean, I think there is a lot of anxiety, not only amongst the officers, but their families. You have officers that are worried about their interactions with the public that might expose them to COVID-19, the coronavirus, and then they have, the strong possibility that they're going to take it home to their families. And, that's difficult, especially when, You know, there is such a tremendous lack of personal protective equipment. We have some departments around the state that where officers have been given basically two masks and said, here, stretch, you know, make these work. We don't know when we're going to get more. You know, and you think about the number of calls that that officers have to answer on a daily basis. You know, obviously they're going to have to reuse those masks, or, I mean, it's just, you know, it's difficult. In the city of Madison, for example, they've been going for the last month through about 400 to 500 pairs of surgical gloves a day, and that's about four times higher than what they would normally go through. So not only do we have, you know, the personal protective equipment needs that now, but there are going to be others that are forthcoming as, you know, agencies deplete the limited resources that they already have. And again, that just exacerbates the risk that law enforcement officers and other first responders have to confront it in all of this.
Are you concerned about police having to deal with people not social distancing in large rallies?
I am. And I know that officers are concerned about that. I mean, they're going to do their jobs, but right now, social distancing is still the best practice. It's still recommended by the CDC. And, you know, when people gather to exercise their First Amendment right, which is their right, they do so. It'd be one thing if they were just, you know, posing greater risk to themselves. I mean, that's bad enough, perhaps. But to pose additional risks to, you know, the first responders that have to be there to defend and protect and safeguard their First Amendment right is in some respects, it's troubling to officers. And I've heard it from them directly. I've seen their posts on Facebook that, you know, they're going to go do their job. They may not even agree with, some of the governor's actions relative to some of the stay-at-home orders, because maybe their part of the state hasn't been hit in the same way as others yet. But they're still cognizant of the fact that they're at greater risk now because these gatherings are taking place.
The threat never, for officers, the threat never ends. And obviously, as we wrap this up today, we want to send our prayers to Canada. Constable Stevenson, she was a 23-year veteran of that force and was killed in a mass shooting in Nova Scotia over the weekend. Just terrible.
Absolutely. Thank you for saying that. I appreciate it. And I know that the men and women in law enforcement and the other, you know, public safety categories genuinely appreciate your support and your dedication to this issue.
Well, this is really difficult because normally if a firefighter or a police officer or many other people go down, there can be a huge mass gathering and show of support, which is so important to the family and the survivors, and they can't do that this time.
No, not only they can't do it this time, Wisconsin Annual Law Enforcement Memorial Ceremony has been canceled. The National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Ceremony in Washington, D.C., has been canceled because of the greater risks that those events would pose to people. So you're absolutely right. These important events that help families and fellow officers, process and grieve and celebrate the service and sacrifice of their brothers and sisters is one that they can't enjoy. They can't, and enjoy is the wrong word, but one that they can't undertake. And that's, that just adds to the tragedy of any loss.
I fly the law enforcement memorial flag in my office, Jim.
As do I. You're a good man. Appreciate that.
Hey, thanks, Jim. Thanks for coming on the podcast today. Listen again to another edition of SlysOffice.com.
SlysOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.